¿Te perdiste tu programa favorito? No te preocupes, en Encuentro Radio subimos todos nuestros programas en versión de podcast. Encuéntralos en www.encuentroradio.com.co y disfruta de todo el contenido que tenemos preparado para ti. Encuentro Radio, la emisora de CEPAL. Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. Comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio.
Welcome to Open Space Conversations. This radio program is brought to you by Global Mission Fellows,
a community dedicated to amplifying the voices and stories of diverse communities around the world.
We will be diving into important social justice issues of our time, exploring the ways that they intersect with beliefs, science, technology, and the environment.
Aiming to open spaces to have conversations about critical issues that are shaping our world today and working toward solutions to create a more equitable and just world for all.
From climate change, education, gender justice, health, and food security, in this space, you're welcome. In this conversation, your voice is heard.
Tune in to our special episodes Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and through podcast version of CEPAC and Encuentro Radio.
As a part of the Global Mission Fellows of the United Methodist Church Cohort 2025 to 2027, we're honored to continue creating this space for meaningful dialogue and connection. Well, this is our second show of the year, and we're grateful to keep growing together. I'm Natalie, hosting alongside Hannah. Well, she couldn't make it this time, but it's just me from CEPAC, her headquarters in Bogota, Colombia. And remember, this is also your space. If you would like to send us a message, a greeting, or share a thought about today's topic, you can reach us on WhatsApp at the following number, +57 302 521 2342. We'd love to hear it from you. And today we're joined by two inspired Global Mission Fellows serving in different parts of the world. We have Casey Ann Marie Santa Maria. She's from the Philippines and is serving in Cambodia in the field of education. And we're also joined by Jonathan Odia Mwaba, originally from Democratic Republic of Congo, who is serving through agriculture and community development in Angola. We're so glad to have you both with us, so please take a moment to introduce yourselves. Casey, so you can start, and welcome both.
Hi, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. My name is Cassie Ann Marie Trinidad Santa Maria. So I am originally from the Philippines and serving in Cambodia as Activity Coordinator in Street Children Ministry, and I'm working with in the slum area with the street children.
Perfect. So,
hi everyone. My name is Jonathan. I'm from Republic Democratic of Congo. I'm serving in West Angola in agricultural sector as an agricultural assistant. With United Methodist Project of Farming in Angola.
Perfect.
Thank you.
It's great to have you both here. So for those who may not be familiar with this program, Open Space Conversation has evolved over the years. It was born a few generations ago, and in this new season, it's being organized by the 2025 to 2027 cohort, and this time we're exploring more like a conversational interview format. So our guests will engage in dialogue and share their experiences in like a more dynamic and authentic way. So today's conversation is especially interesting because our guests are currently serving in two very meaningful fields, like agriculture and education. And these are their areas of mission and application at this moment. And we're excited to learn more about their work and what are they doing and the impact that they are making in their communities. So as you listened before, feel free to stay connected with us by sending comments, greetings, through Encuentro Radio social media channels. You can find us on Instagram as Cepalca Encuentro Radio and also on Facebook as /Encuentro Radio. So, Casey, it's great to have you with us today. So please go ahead and you can begin with the interview and the conversation.
Okay. So, hi, Jonathan. I've prepared questions for you. So we can have a conversation. So are you kind of excited with the questions? Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. So to start our conversation, I'd like to take you back in a bit. What were you doing before you entered the GMF program, and how is it? How's that experience connected with what you're doing now?
First of all, I'm so happy about this question and this discussion. And before I joined the GMF program, I was working with Ministry of Agriculture in Zimbabwe. That's called Agritex, yeah. In the department is an agricultural extension officer. Also, in terms of that allowed me to have a skills in agriculture, and also that leadership how to lead with agriculture, how to do with agriculture program. Yeah, that's what I was doing before I joined this program. Also, serving God as a youth leader that allowed me to have some of these skills. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Thank you so much for this.
Yeah, that's a wonderful, what a humble man. So now let's talk about your relationship with agriculture, of course, and I just want to know, what is your background with agriculture? Was this something you grew up with? Is it something you studied, or you just discovered it later in life?
Yeah, agriculture, I can say that is one of the, is part of the family. Well, I'm not saying so, because in our family, we used to do farming. It became like a passion. It's not like just a program for me. It's a passion because in our family, we used to have a farming. We used to do farming. And then I end up also to do agriculture program. And that allowed me to have more experience, more knowledge concerning the agricultural sectors and the degree that I have also in agriculture. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's nice to know that we both came from agriculture, with agriculture background with our family. Yeah, my family are also farmers, so we have a farm, so I kind of connect with you. And with that, So with that, I want to ask, agriculture comes with a lot of uncertainties, right? Nothing is ever guaranteed, you know? Like how much you'll harvest, how climate change affects your crop, crops, or whether prices will be good during the harvest season. So my question is, how do you handle these uncertainties, both physically and personally? And I want to know what keeps you grounded when this kind of things goes unplanned.
Yeah, what you have said is that right. Agriculture has got a lot of challenges and a lot of uncertainty. Let me give you an example that we faced recently in my place of assignment, whereby one of the pigs, we have got a lot of pigs. we have got also pigs in within the project. One of the pigs give birth whereby the milk was not coming out. The baby, the piglet was there, but we did not expect that, but the milk was not coming out. As we need to keep those pigs, we try to manage to resolve that problem by buying the cow milk and starting giving to the pigs. That allow us to face that certainty that happened. Also, in terms of crops, since I arrived in my PO, we have got a problem with rain. There is no rain. It's not raining, but we need to grow up, to grow some of the crops. But I tried and I installed irrigation system within the farm, a new irrigation system that allow us to fix that challenge that we're facing, and it allow us also to resolve the problem of climate change that affects that there is no rain, because we are in a rain season but it's not raining. We were expecting rain, but it's not raining. Yeah, I think some of the way is just when something things happen, we need to find solution as quick as possible so that it's not going to affect the crop and then we are not going to lose. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, that's a lot of things happening with agriculture. It's a lot of surprises and such. But don't worry, we'll be with you in prayers for the rain. I hope it will rain soon in your place of assignment.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, with me saying that, I also want to explore how your work connects to ministry. So you see agriculture and ministry is kind of different, but kind of same at the same time. So how do you connect your job description with your ministry? And who are the people that benefits most from the work that you do?
Yeah, first of all, I can start by the last question. Do people benefit more from the work that we are doing in a mission is the local community. The local community, also the church in a mission, whereby some of the activities that we are doing in the mission, we are seeing the local community also getting the benefit from there, the church, the crop that we are producing. Some of the local community, they are coming to buy, let's say, pigs, okra, maize, some of the vegetables that we are doing, we are growing in within the farm. The local community also, they are getting benefit, and it's become like the part of resolving the food security within the community. Whereby there is no rain, and then this mission also is going well. And concerning the one for how it connects with the job description, I think what I found, and also my supervisor when I arrived, the responsibility that I got, it was linked with the job description and the activities that I found within the project and within the firm was connected to the job descriptions.
So you're kind of selling what you're planting and the animals that you're taking care of, something like that?
Yeah, we are. Some of the animals we are selling is like today we sold 20 pigs. Yeah.
You really? That's so nice. And with that, I was curious, where do you use the money for? Yeah.
Yeah, the money is entering in the church. Is helping the church. The conference, the West Conference of Angola is helping, is entering in the project of church, is helping the church, yeah, some of the activities of the church. But what I know is helping the church, because there are certain things, there are workers that they need to be paid, that we are working, they are working within the farm. They are the feed for the pigs. We need to buy fertilizers, some of the seeds. That money also help some enter in the project, some help also for keeping the farm, keeping functioning.
Oh, that's wonderful. So sometimes you just give the crops for free. Do you do that also? Do you give the crops for free sometimes?
To give to people?
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, now, how many months you've been in your place of assignment?
Now this month is 6 months now. 6 months, yes.
Ooh, yeah. That's half a year. So how do you enjoy your ministry and what brings you joy or fulfillment in what you do, even during challenges season?
Yeah, I'm enjoying because I always like to be in the nature. That is one of the things. Being at the farm, connecting with the nature, that allowed me to enjoy most is I'm here. But one of the challenges is the changing of the climate. Yeah, the climate from here, it was a bit difficult at the beginning, but for now, I think I'm used now.
You're being an expert now with these things.
Yeah.
Did you study agriculture? Like in university?
Yes, I have a degree in agriculture. And I have a degree in agriculture, yes.
Oh, that's so nice. So nice.
Yeah.
So now I want to give you my last question for this talk, and I'm having a good conversation with you, but how can people support your work?
Yeah, people can support my work through my advanced number in prayer, but my advanced number is 3022 8 4 9, and also through my social media, they can find me at Jonathan Otia Mwaba on Facebook, on Instagram. Yeah,
that is so wonderful. Thank you for this meaningful conversation. I really did a good time with you.
Thank you so much also for this moment. Thank you so much.
Perfect. So thank you both for sharing, well, Jonathan, for sharing your story and insights with us today. So your experience reminds us that agriculture is not just about farming, it's about faith, service, and most important, community. So to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We are going to a music segment right now, and we are listening to Praise by Elevation Worship. And it's a reminder to praise the Lord with all your heart, wherever you are, and in every season of life, no matter the situation. So let's listen, and please stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments with the second part of this open space conversation. Let's go. One, two,
on the mind.
Perfect. Welcome back to Open Space Conversations. And we are excited to know more about each other's work as missionaries. So now it's Jonathan's turn to go with the interview. So go ahead with your questions, please.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so happy to have you as a person that I'm going to ask Casey. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to know, first of all, first of the question, how do you understand the role of education transforming the life of the street children beyond the academic?
So I see education as more. Yeah. For me, education is not just about learning in the four corners of the classroom. It's not just about, you know, 1 + 1, 1, 2, 3, or reading, sounding ABCs. It's way beyond that. And as I've learned in my university teachers, of course, education is the foundation of dreams. This is why the role of the teachers are very fragile and very important in the children's life, because they help the students to dream big and help them achieve it. They help the students prepare the path for their future. So I see education as a big step to transform the lives of these children. I also believe that when the person nurtures education, there will be tons of open doors of opportunities for them. As Filipino parents says, we might not give you a lot of money or properties, but we will do our best to provide the very best education, because no one can get it from you, and it will bring you farther, and it can give you a bright future. So education is very important. Yeah.
Yeah, that is wonderful. One of the things that I get, you say that education is very important. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. Also, I want to know, in your journey of serving these children, what have you thought about resilience, or even faith? What have you thought? I just want to know.
Oh, thank you for asking about resilience. But to start answering this question, Filipinos are known for their resilience. So at some point, I kind of feel that I am resilient, but seeing these little children, I realize that I should be more resilient, because at their very young age, there are things that they are enduring without complaining, and these children just enjoy life. And this reminds me of the verse in the Bible that tells us to live like a child, to think like a child, something like that. Because they're very positive in life. You know, children are good in seeing the better things despite of their situation. And with this, I see a new perspective of hope, a kind of hope that you cannot just grab from this little children, a kind of hope that brings joy and light, and even that they are not totally Christians, I feel that they have faith and hope that there is something beautiful coming, and that beautiful things is waiting for them for their bright future. That's why it taught me to see resilience as hope and faith in another perspective, that my definition of resilience, hope, and faith is way more than that. That resilience are more than being able to bounce back from a painful experience, but being able to bounce back stronger with joy and love, and taking a step backwards, but taking 3 steps forward. Thank you.
Yeah, that is wonderful. That is very wonderful. Also, I want to know, what change have you seen in the children's life since they began participating in the education program? What change have you realized since they're participating in the program? I just want to know.
Okay. So according to their stories, according to the stories of the people living there, before, the place where I work with is a kind of dirty place. There's a lot of gambling. There's a lot of drinking. So it's not a very good environment for the children to grow. So to be honest, I am the third GMF who serves in this program. So the place where we work is called Cambodia Student Children Fund Organization, or we call it CSCFO. But specifically, I work with the Street Children Ministry, and this is one of their extensions. So I feel like the first two GMFs, which is Agustinus and Gwanghee, they really did a good job in motivating and inspiring these children. They see the worst, they see the everything, and this is the first time that they have a girl GMF because of their not so good past. But now they are confident to get a new one. I mean, to get a girl GMF because they already touched the lives of these children. And I can see it that the children are more behaved now. The children are more obedient. They are starting to dream big for their future. But, of course, it takes a process. One time I remember I asked the students the typical, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" question. Some said, "I want to be a doctor, I want to be a teacher, I want to be a soldier, etc., etc." But this one kid caught my attention. He said, "I want to be a taxi driver." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So I continue to teach about having big dreams, having good manners, and being obedient, how to achieve their dreams through Bible stories. And then out of nowhere, I ask them again, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And then this kid who said that he wants to be a taxi driver said that he wants to be a soldier. So with that simple gesture, I see that many things have changed already since we in GMF program became part of this ministry. There are already many improvements that can help the students build their path towards better future. That is why we should really support them, because their baby steps or their small wins can bring the biggest victories of their lives. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so curious about, as you are speaking about the children, I just want to know, do you have a figure of the number of children that they are participating? Are you counting?
Yeah. Today we have 25 kids who participated in the class. That's the average, though, 20 to 25.
Oh, the age, the... Yeah, age. Do you also talk about the ages?
There are children who's like 5 years old, and the eldest I think is 11 years old.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I can see you are doing a great job in your mission. Yeah, I just want also to know the street children often carry emotional wounds along educational gap. How does your journey balance academic learning with emotional and spiritual support?
So we have a Christian and social values class, and that is one of the main focus of my ministry here in Cambodia. And in that class, we talk about the Christian faith, but not to the extent that we force them to be a Christian, because we all know that Cambodia is a Buddhist country. So at some point, my students are not Christians. That is why I'm really careful in how I approach these kids, but of course, I still make sure that they have the emotional and spiritual support through the Bible stories, or not just Bible stories. I sometimes make stories with moral lessons to help their emotions and to help them handle their emotions. And we also do some activities. We have games, and the children really love crafts, so we make a lot of them. And with the help of the people assisting me with the translations, of course, and as I've mentioned earlier, the organization that I'm working with is not just about ABCs and 1-2-3s, but we also try our very best to reach the children in their emotional and spiritual aspects. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Also, do you have a background that link with the mission that you are doing in your place of assignment?
Yeah. Before I entered the GMF program, I am a church worker. I am a deaconess. So I'm like the one who's handling the youth and the children, and I'm also a preschool teacher. To be exact, I graduated as early childhood teacher, childhood educator. So I've teach in preschool classroom for 3 years and a year of being the head of the preschool department. So kind of similar.
That's great. That's great. That is wonderful. I just want to also to know, as we listen to your experience, how many of us may be wondering how we can walk along the ministry like yours? In what way can we better support or collaborate with the ministry's focus with vulnerable children?
Oh, okay. So there are so many ways to support and collaborate with these ministries, with our ministries. Of course, first, help us pray for these little ones to achieve their dreams in life and be their support system. If possible, be present so we'll be able to engage with them. Also, this ministry requires material things that can be used in teaching, for, you know, instructional materials, and to help the children engage in learning. So financial support would also be a great way to collaborate and support in this kind of ministry, and to support me in my ministry here in Cambodia with the Street Children Ministry. You can donate in my account. In my advance number. It's 3022886. And you can also follow me in Facebook. It's Cassie Trinidad Santa Maria. Sorry for that. So yeah, you can follow me in Facebook with my username Cassie Trinidad Santa Maria, and I update there monthly at the end of the month with my advance number and my link. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's great and wonderful. Thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you, Casey, for sharing your heart and your experience with us. Now we know that education is not just about information, but about restoration, belonging, and hope. Something that really stood me out that you said that was that education was the foundation for dreams. And I think it's a very powerful statement. So, guys, I have one question for both of you. We have listened a lot about the hard work that you're doing, but could you share one fun thing that you have done in your places of assignment that you haven't done before?
Guys? Can you come up again, please?
Yeah. Could you share one fun thing that you have done in your places of assignment that you haven't done before? Like, I don't know, maybe it could be like going to the beach or going to climb a mountain. You can share like one fun thing that you have done.
Okay, so I'll answer first.
Yeah, go.
Okay. Okay, so I'll answer first. For me, it's nothing much new because first, my work is with the children, and that's what I normally do in my church appointment. But the cool thing is I kind of need to learn their language, and at some point in my life I didn't experience having the language barrier with the children. I used to connect with them easily whenever I want, but this experience is new because when the children wants to talk to me, they just act it out. Like if they want food, they just point out the food. If they want to go home, they will gesture house in their hands. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so funny because the language barrier is like stopping us to have a good relationship and a, you know, firm relationship. But it's fun learning their language because sometimes the children are teaching me the language. Yeah, they're teaching me some words.
Have you learned some new words with the children?
Yeah.
Could you share with us one?
They taught me how to say thank you. It's okun. Okun. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Just add charan. Okun charan. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. What about you, Jonathan?
Yeah, I can also explain in the same way of Casey. Yeah, one of the fun things that is language barrier. You know, when you are leading, you don't know how to explain or to express yourself in the languages that people are speaking. I remember one of the funny things. I supposed to speak about the pigs, but I did not know the name of the pigs in Portuguese. I just I make a sound as the pigs they used to do so that they can understand what I'm talking about. Yeah, it was very fun. But for me, it was the way of expressing and explaining what is going on some of the crops. But I managed to learn, and at the beginning, it was a bit difficult to explain and to talk with the workers, the community, because of the language barrier. But I learned some of the words. Some of the time, they can say this one, it means this, this one is this. Also, I manage also to go one of the, there is a lot of otter. Yeah, a lot of otter and people are doing fishing is one of the things that I enjoy and fun things. I go and fishing with local communities. I did not do it before. Yeah. Wow. But I learned some of the words like, bon dia, como estás? Yeah.
Perfect. That's great. Yeah. I would like to fish one day. I think I did fish when I was a kid, but I don't remember fishing anything. But that's great. So, well, I think we still have time for another song. So this is a special choice from both of our guests, and signifies that the mission, work, and ministry that we are doing is one of our ways to give thanks to God. So this song is from Maverick City, originated from Atlanta, United States. And this is I Thank God. We'll be right back.
Soul. This vagabond
want to say a big thank you to our two guests, Casey and Jonathan, for being with us today and for sharing your story so openly. We truly appreciate your time and your willingness to be part of this conversation. So please, if you want to say some words or answer some questions our audience did, so please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much, Open Space, for having us, for listening to our ministry. Thank you for those who stayed, for those who still tuning in with us, to my family who's still listening, even it's midnight in Philippines. I really do appreciate you guys, and thank you for supporting me and my in this ministry. I hope to see you soon.
Perfect. Jonathan?
Yeah, I want to thank the Open Space for this opportunity that allow us as Global Mission Fellow to express and to let around the world to talk about the work that we are doing in the missions. Thank you so much for this opportunity and this your support. And also I want to thank you personally, Natalie, for the great job that you are doing, and also for everyone that are watching us around the world. Thank you so much for your support, and thank you so much for everything. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we truly appreciate your big work, Natalie. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm still learning how to be on the radio and everything, but thank you both for joining us. And I think we have one question that Eliza, greetings to Eliza there, and she asked Jonathan's one question, and it says, Jonathan, are the pig sounds the same in Angola?
Yes, the pig are the same.
Well, here in Latin America, we have the onomatopoeia sound, that's oink, oink. How do pigs do in your countries?
Yeah, they are doing the same, oink. You know. They are doing the same, especially the pigs, when we are trying to feed them, the moment of feeding them, their sound is like a music now.
Perfect. So, thank you both, and to everyone listening from different parts of the world, and thank you for spending this time with us. Your presence is what makes this space meaningful. And remember, you can join us every 2 weeks on Tuesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on EncuentroRadio.com.co, and also through the TuneIn app. And we're excited to continue these conversations with you and to keep growing this community together. Until our next episode, take care, stay connected, and we'll see you very soon. Goodbye for now. Thank you.
Bye.